This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Chiromo of New Hope, East Hawaii. In his message titled, Let's Be Real, Pastor Scott speaks about how we need to be real by developing a godly character. He also talks about the different characteristics that we should strive for. This message was recorded on Sunday, August 30th, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Thank you, Pastor Dennis. Thank you, Usher. So at the end of service today, we are going to be taking our missions offering. And just a reminder, yeah, because there were five Saturdays this month that men's ministry is not next week's Saturday, because that's the first Saturday of the month. And we would hate for you to show up here and it's all dark and locked down. So it's not, you get an extra Saturday to go fishing, right? You know, with all the, I hope you guys are prepared just in case that hurricane comes. But we're just praying that it would not come. Amen? So I would expect like about 100 prayer requests going to Pastor Dennis today so he can type all the way till tomorrow that this hurricane would go away, because that's the request that we are making, that doesn't come and affect us. But we it's been hot and dry, so we could use a little rain, but not too much. Amen? Yeah. Well, this morning we talk about being real, and it's a message about our character. You know, aren't you glad when, like, God created things like fruits, like a banana? You open it up, and always you're gonna get a banana. Imagine, because that's how God is. You know, he's what he says he is, and he does. You know, because sometimes we as human beings, our character can have a lot of flaws, myself included. You ever see people in church and then later on you see them outside and it's like, wow, look what they're doing. It's not like, you know, that's not what church people does. Anybody ever done that to you when you got out of character and you did or you said something and they pulled that card and you say, hey, but I thought you go to church. Anybody, that didn't happen to anybody? Only me? I mean, yeah, sometimes we all slip up. We all trip and fall. Don't you hate it when you trip up and you mess up? The very ones that you are trying to reach is right there, and it's like, man, all that work that I was doing, I just messed it up because I stumbled. And I blew it. And the thing is, they don't come to church, so they don't understand that's why we go to church, because we got to work on ourselves. You know, I hear people say, you know, I don't go to church because of the people in the church. And it's so sad, you know, that people don't come to church because of people. Because when you come to church here, we want you to come to church so that we here, the leaders here, our whole goal is to get you saved and equip you and point you into your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I don't want you to live your Christian life through me. Because when I fall, we all fall. And we don't want that to happen. So we try to get people to love God and to connect with him on a personal level, so that they don't look to people, and when people stumble, it wouldn't cause them to stumble. You know, you may have people you know, and they may be some of your friends who they talk a good talk, but that's about it. What they say just doesn't line up with how they live. So a lot of times, you know, when we have, they say, this is what I saying that I just heard recently. What do fishermen and pastors have in common? They love to exaggerate. Yeah, the fish was this big when the thing was like this. Yeah, the church had 200 people today when it had 30. You know, sometimes, you know, you really, there's a great temptation there, especially when you're in your, you know, every month we have this East Hawaii pastors meeting for all of our Four Square churches we meet. And Pastor Sheldon, he checks up on us. He says, how are you guys doing? You know, and, you know, the honest ones, the honest pastors, sometimes they tell us, man, you know, churches, the attendance is a little bit down and giving is down. And, you know, they're honest. And so there's sometimes just so much temptation to say, just, you know, just exaggerate just a little bit, you know, just to make yourself feel good. But we need to be real, amen? If there was 100 people here, there wasn't 150, okay? You know, we, you know, fishermen, you know, the fish was actually this big, okay? Wasn't this big. And I actually only caught one, okay, not 100. And sometimes we can exaggerate, but we just need to be honest. And we need to live like what we say. I mean, it's hard, but we certainly can try our best if we say that we're a Christian and that we follow Jesus Christ, then we should be doing our very best to love others as God loves us, to be graceful, to be merciful, to be kind, to be tender-hearted, to be patient. Man, there's just something about it that when you follow Christ, something in the inside starts changing. And if you don't feel it, or if you haven't been changing, man, sometimes maybe you gotta just see where you're going and where you're at. Maybe you need to get into the Word a little bit more. You know, I believe that if we are to be real, then we wouldn't have to speak too much, because people would see it in our actions. A few weeks ago, I shared about being honest. But this morning, I want to talk about our character. Yeah. You know, if I preach to you that reading the Bible and doing your devotions is important, but I never did mine, would you listen to me? How effective would my testimony be if I told you, read your Bible, but I never read mine? What if I told you, hey, let's give of our tithes and offerings, and I never gave of mine? How effective would I be? You would say, like, wow, he talks a good talk, but he's not walking it. A few weeks ago, I was reading my Bible, and that's how I got this message. When we were reading in Isaiah, and we're in Isaiah 29, verse 13, it says, then the Lord said, because these people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote, learned by habit. You know, the people in Jerusalem, they were saying, oh yes, we know God, we love God. They were involved in doing the worship service, but their heart wasn't there. They were more concerned with the man-made legalistic rules than with God's laws. You know, I don't know if you've ever been there where you would come to church on a Sunday, you would sing worship, you would say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, God is good, we love you. And then as soon as you leave the church grounds, you start cussing and swearing and fighting and, you know, cutting off people and, you know, just being darn right rude and ungodly. You know, if you have children, and you told them not to smoke, but yet you're holding a cigarette in your hand, what would that say? Or you're telling them, I don't want you to drink, but you're already drunk. How would that look? You think they would listen? I don't know if your parent, when you were growing up, ever told you any of that. You know, because when I was growing up, my dad used to drink a lot. I think that's where I kind of followed along. Yeah. You know, you tell your children, clean their room, but your room is messy. Oh, that's just like me. So I stopped telling my children, clean their room. My wife is neat. I'm the messy one. You ever invited somebody to church, yet at the same time gossip with them? Sometimes it's so hard, yeah, following God. But thank God that He gives us His Holy Spirit, that we can find strength in Him. And thank God for His grace. Man, if you ever had some of those people who talk really good, but whatever they say, they don't do. When they tell you something, you really just, yeah, one ear out the other ear, and don't listen to them. Because you know their character. When they tell you, yeah, I'll meet you right here at 10 o'clock, and they don't show up, you wonder. Next time they tell you, meet me here at 10 o'clock, you show up, they don't come. Next time they tell you, meet me here at 10 o'clock, you ain't fooling me three times. I think our character that we need to work on it. It's a constant battle. Something that we got to work on every single day. Because, you know, if one televangelist pastor fails, how many people will stumble? And how much harder would our job be to try and convince them to come back to love the Lord? You've seen that happen before. And our work is hard enough as it is. So we should be people who are real. And what you say you do and you read is the way that you walk and the way that you are. You know, we get to strive to be Christ-like, amen? And number one, we need to be real. I mean, what they see, what people see is what they get. I try to be as real as I can. What you see up here is what you get. That's me. The only thing I do different Saturday nights is I shave. Because you see me Monday through Friday, I just look so scruffy. Fuzzy, unshaved chin and cheeks, and I just don't like to shave. Yeah? And so, you know, if I don't have a wedding or a funeral during the week, I just let myself kind of go until Saturday, and then I clean up just so I can be a little bit presentable. But we need to be real, amen? In Matthew, Jesus talks about the Pharisees in Matthew 23. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses." You know, they took the best seats in the synagogue. "Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe," because they were like, "Do this, do this, do this. Tithe here, serve here." And says, "Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. But do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them." Man, we do not want to be like that. Amen? We want to say we love God, not just on Sunday mornings here. But when we go to our workplace, when we're in our homes, that we love God. What we say should line up with what we do. I'm so glad that what God says in His Word, I can count on, I can rely on. That when I get up in the morning, I can get up and I don't have to wonder, is God grouchy today? Is he? So I gotta like tiptoe just in case he's grouchy and poof, the lightning bolt. I'm mad today. Let's pick on Scott. Aren't you glad that God's not like that? He is the same gracious, loving God every single day. And we don't have to worry. Is God going to have a bad day today? Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Times may change, seasons change, but Jesus Christ does not. He is the same. He's the same one that got nailed to that cross for you and me back then, and he's the same today. He loves you just as much as when he was on that cross, just as much back then as he does now. In James 1:17, he says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. You know how you move, your shadow moves, the sun changes your shadow, it just shifts and goes all over the place? God's not like that. He is the same. He loves you the same. Even if you mess up, he still loves you the same. You ever had your child, maybe one of your child did something bad, and your love maybe changes for them because they messed up? God's one doesn't. He will love you even when you mess up. James says that all the good stuff, that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And then God is reliable. He is trustworthy. He never changes like our shadow. Yeah, God, man, is just so incredible that no matter how many times we may fail, we may stumble, God loves us. And we get to develop godly character, or we need to develop godly character. You know, it might be hard. You might think, wow, that's a far stretch. You know, but with something that we can aim for to have godly characteristics. There are some characteristics of God that we cannot be. All-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign. See, because the devil tried that, and it didn't work. You know, we cannot seek to put ourselves on the throne of our lives and to be the ruler of our life. That's not going to work. But some of the things that we can strive for, yeah, holiness. You know, we can try to be holy because it is written in 1 Peter, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." You know, like holiness in the highest form. Yes, it belongs to God. And those who proclaim to follow God, we gotta be trying our very best to walk in his will. To follow him. To develop that character, the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, and all those. So we get to strive to be that. Truthfulness. That's a characteristic of God that, man, we all can strive for. Always telling the truth. Always. If your wife comes out with this outfit that makes her look fat, and she says, "Does this make me look fat?" What are you going to do? Tell the truth? Talk to me later. I'll tell you what to do. You know, but the, you know, when you're doing your daily thing, be truthful. Hey, how many of you ever messed up and was honest about it? You know what? I messed up. The other half, stay. The eyes who raised your hand, you're good. But man, I mess up all the time. I mess up so much that God uses that to keep me humble, to admit, like, hey, I messed up. Will you forgive me? And when you get that truth-telling part, because Proverbs says this, the Lord detests lying lips. You mean that detest, you know, like, oh, that's so such a strong word. But he delights in men who are truthful. Sometimes, man, telling the truth seems like such a hard thing. You know, it would be easier if I just told a little white lie and everything would be good. But the Lord detests lying lips. He delights in men who are truthful. You know, and that's one that is really, for us, it's achievable. Righteousness. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. That was Jesus. So that we may become the righteousness of God in him. What does it mean for us to be righteous? You know, when people trust in Christ and make an exchange for their sin for God's righteousness. When we exchange, when we say, God, I receive you, when you take that sin that you have and Jesus died for, and you exchange it and you become right with God. And I believe in some way that means that we get to live to please God. How many of us, because we often live to please our spouse. We often live to please our bosses. We often live to please ourselves. How often do we live to please God? Faithfulness. Faith. God is so faithful to us. And we trust him. Amen? Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. If that is one of the characteristics of God that I really, really strive for. To be faithful. Faithful with my money. Faithful with my time. Faithful with the things that God has given me. And it's not always easy, but with the help of God, the Holy Spirit, it's achievable. Amen? You know, we can be faithful to God in our finances by tithing back to him. We can be faithful in our time by doing what we need to do when we need to do it. Amen? How many of you like to procrastinate? The rest of you go back to the second one about truthfulness. Yeah? Truthfulness. So how many of you could be better with your time? Yeah? I mean, we all could. How many times I find myself napping when I know I need to be reading? And I really try hard with this one. Faithfulness. You know, trying to be faithful with everything that God has given me, making sure I steward my finances well, my time well, and my relationships well. Number five, love. This is one characteristic, man. The way he puts it in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now, if it stopped right there, it would be okay. It's easy. I can love one another. I can love them even if they make me mad, because I can love them from 10 miles away. Right? But it doesn't stop there. It's like that's just the beginning. And it continues. Even as I have loved you. That's the part. I mean, we've been reading that scripture a lot this summer. And God has speaking to me a lot through that scripture this summer, that I love another person how God loves me. Oh, that right there. Because how does God love you? He loves you so much. He gave his life for you. He shed his blood for you. And he continues to love you no matter what happens, no matter what you do. Man, that's the part where I need the help with, to love other people just the same way that God loves me. And that's where all the other stuff's got to come in, the faithfulness, the grace, the mercy. Because other people, how many of you get mad at other people? We all do. But we got to love them like how God loves us. Then mercy. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. What does that mean? I think that means that we got to give them more than what they give us. We cannot give them what they deserve, in other words. Like how God doesn't give us what we deserve. Because he has mercy. He is kind. He is loving. And he has mercy on us. Because if he gave us, like I said, if he gave us what we deserve, we would be dead. We would not be here. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So how God shows you mercy, can we show that to others? So how can we get to the point where my character becomes more like God? Man, have you ever had somebody that you hung around with so much that you started to act like them and behave like them? Say things like them. Yeah. If you hang around with God, you spend time with God, you read his word, you dive into this, and you it's not just a Sunday book, okay? It's not just a Sunday book. But if you hung around, how many of you been in Hawaii for a number of years, like 20, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? How many of you developed this thing called pigeon? Yeah, I think if you move to the mainland for 10 years, maybe your pigeon would not be so good. Maybe you'd have different, because you're hanging around different people. I tell you, when you start hanging around with God every day, something inside you is going to change. You find yourself getting mad a little bit less. You find yourself having a little bit more mercy. You're finding that it's easier to love people. You're finding that you can trust God with more and more of your life. And it's a good thing. And I think that's how we can develop a God-like character, if we would take the time to hang out with him, to take the time to hang out with each other. I'm not saying 100% you just hang around with Christians, because we need to reach the non-Christians. Amen? So there's going to have to come the time where you interact with them. In Hebrews 4:12, it tells us what the Word of God does. For the Word of God, the Bible, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You know, if you hung out with God for a number of years, when you read this Bible, it does something to you. You know, you cannot just read these words and that's it. When you read these words, it does something to you. It penetrates you. It cuts away the stuff, the junk. And when you can read, you understand, you apply. If you get anything today, get that. You hang out with God on a daily basis and spend time with Him. The stuff will come. The good stuff will come. Because the Bible is not just words on a paper. It's not just another book. Let me tell you, it is alive. It is living. It is powerful. It is transforming. God speaks to you through His Word. If we allow the Word to penetrate us, it reveals things to us. It corrects things, and nothing can be hidden from God. Neither can we hide from ourselves if we sincerely study the Word. If you really sincerely study this book, you'll look at it and it'll actually study you. I believe the more time we spend with God, we get to become more and more like Him. And we can be real. When you say, "I am a Christian and I follow God," you would not have to tell your coworkers that you're a Christian, because they will see it in your actions. I had people tell me, "Well, I never knew you was a pastor." Ooh, that hurts. Maybe I don't show it all the time. Who knows, man? I just needed to hear that to get humbled. But the more time you spend with God, the more and more you'll be like Him. Amen? You can put away your notes. I was reading this scripture this week. It's not in our bookmark, but I was just pondering. It's in John 1:12. And it says this: "Yet to all who received Him," meaning God, "to those who believe in His name," the name of Jesus Christ, "He gave the right to become His children." So it says that we need to receive and believe. And it gives us the right to become children. If any of you here today who need to receive and believe so that you can receive salvation, because the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you need to be saved, then I'd ask right now, all of you, you'd bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's pray to believe and receive Jesus so that we have the right to become His children. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to You. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person You want me to be. I receive You, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? And may God bless you with anybody else out there. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. Lord, you have seen them. They believe and they receive. And now you have called them and they have become your children. Lord, I pray. I pray that you would begin a good work in them. That as they walk with you, they would spend time with you. And they would understand you. And the more and more they would fall in love with you. Thank you so much that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you never have a bad day and pick on us. But you love us every single day as much as yesterday. And we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to get ready to take our missions offering. And what this does, we do this every time there's a fifth Sunday. Yeah, and we get to team up with missionaries all across the world. This little church in Ke'au, Hawaii, has an arm that reaches as far as Indonesia and China, Japan, Russia, even as far as the Middle East. And we have given and given. And one day, when we get to heaven, you will see what you have given to accomplish. We have helped send missionaries into the Middle East this summer. We have helped missionaries in the South Pacific, in Africa, because of what we have done. We may not have the gift to go, but we can give so that others who have the gift can succeed. Amen. Lord, as we prepare to give above and beyond what you have called us to give for, as we give to reach our hands across this world, to spread the gospel, to expand your kingdom in places that we don't even know the names of. Lord, I pray that as we give, you would use this gift to have your word preached to someone who has never heard your word before. And we would pray that people would receive you who have never heard about you before. But that we help partner with those who are going. And as we give, we ask that you would bless this gift. That it would expand your kingdom in ways that we could never imagine. And one day when we get to heaven, we would see all that our giving has done. So I ask you, bless this gift. We pray this in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Romo of New Hope Christian Fellowship, East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Ke'au, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.